The lesson is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Now, concerning the times and the seasons, brothers and sisters, you do not need to have anything written to you. For you yourselves know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. When they say, "There is peace and security," then sudden destruction will come upon them, as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and there will be no escape. But you, beloved, are not in darkness, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light and children of the day. We are not of the night or of darkness. So then let us not fall asleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who are drunk, get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober and put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has destined us not for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build up each other, as indeed you are doing. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We read the verses of Psalm 90. Piano side reads the light verses. Courtyard side reads the bold verses. I will read all the verses. Lord, you have been our refuge from one generation to another. Before the mountains were brought forth, or the land and the earth were born, from age to age you are God. You turn us back to the dust and say, "Turn back, O children of earth." For 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it is past, and like a watch in the night. You sweep them away like a dream. They fade away suddenly like the grass. In the morning it is green and flourishes. In the evening it is dried up and withered. For we are consumed by your anger. We are afraid because of your wrath. Our iniquities we have set before you, and our secret sins in the light of your countenance. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts to wisdom.
According to Matthew, the 25th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to the disciples, "For it is as if a man going on a journey summoned his slaves and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, each to according to his ability. Then he went away. The one who had received the 5 talents went off at once and traded with them, and made 5 more talents. In the same way, the one who had 2 talents made 2 more talents. But the one who had received the 1 talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. Then the one who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 more talents, saying, 'Master, you have handed over to me 5 talents. See, I have made 5 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. you have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. And the one with the two talents also came forward, saying, Master, you have handed over to me two talents. See, I have made two more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Then the one who had received the one talent also came forward, saying, Master, I know that you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I went and I hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours. But his master replied, You wicked and lazy slave, you knew, did you, that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I did not scatter? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and on my return I would have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one with the 10 talents. For to all those who have, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. As for this worthless slave, throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. I invite the children to come forward. No, it's okay. If they're too far, if they're already doing their thing. Okay. No worries. We shan't disrupt them if they're already in order. In that case, who's been to Vegas lately? The kids aren't here. It's okay. We can talk about this. No? Nobody? How about Seven Cedars? It's just right down the road. Nobody's confessing here, right? Well, I told you about the sermon notes, right? The page that's in there to answer a couple of questions, give feedback on the sermon. I said that's not like confirmation class. Don't be afraid of it. You're not being graded. Put your name on the paper, though, please. It's better when it's not anonymous. But it's not like that. This isn't a tool for figuring out whether you are paying attention or listening or not, just as this question is not about who is spending too much time at the blackjack table. Actually, I don't even know if they have blackjack tables in Washington casinos, but I do know that just about every one of them will let you play with house money. You just show up and you get a player's card, right? You can do this at just about any one of them, anyone I've ever walked into, whether it be in Nevada or Washington, and you get your card and you go, usually it's something like going and spinning a wheel. And it goes around and it looks like you could win something fantastic, like, you know, $500 or $1,000 or something like that of free money, but the default is you get at least like $5. I assume that somebody must be winning those bigger prizes to start off with, but not me. It's always been 5 or maybe 10, but only when 10 is the minimum. However, the master of Jesus' parable is more generous and gives much better odds than you're going to find down the road at Seven Cedars, on a short flight to Las Vegas, even probably in Monte Carlo or Macau. For he gives each of these guys in this story a person's weight in gold and multiply it then a few times over in some cases. Each talent's size and value are defined differently by ancient sources, runs between 50 and 100 pounds. Some kind of split the difference and say it was probably about 75. In any case, it's worth somewhere between 50 and 20 years' salary. Think like huge gold nugget. And like the player's cards, though, not everybody gets the same in this case, rather exorbitant amount. But to play this game, unlike my $5 on a magnetic stripe on a plastic card, the slaves in this parable don't get what they're given free and clear. This property, this wealth, these talents remain the property, the wealth, the talents of the one who entrusts them to them. Maybe that makes it a little less fun. On the other hand, walking the Bellagio with a briefcase full of someone else's cash sounds like it may be kind of a rush to me. Better yet, if it's that 50 or 100 pounds of gold multiplied a time or two or five over, it'll get you noticed, and the fun begins, right? At least in theory. But that's something, because where the three begin is not purely up to chance, decided in the house's favor. It's according to their ability, Jesus says. To whom much is given, much is expected. And again, the least offered here is quite a pretty sum, something few of us will ever see in one place at one time in our lives. I always thought it odd the word talent to signify a unit of wealth, but the meaning of talent as an ability traces back to the use that we hear here. It's not a coincidence. Nowadays, not every bit of talent has a tangible financial worth, but given what the entertainment industry generates, the aforementioned Las Vegas, it's safe to say that there is some correlation between the two. And talent is commonly described as God-given. It might not seem fair that some have an innate gift to sing like a nightingale, or to run like a cheetah, or adapt to new environments like a chameleon. But it matters how and if talent is developed. We all receive the gift of life, but in widely differing circumstances. Just being born in the wealthier nations on this planet starts us at second or third base, if you will, in terms of access to resources anyway. But we have no say in the families that we are born into, whether we're raised in the country life or the urban milieu, whether advantaged or disadvantaged by patriarchy or skin color, how we're initially shaped by nature, nor in our early years how we are nurtured. But for the purposes of this parable, each is held responsible for as much as they ought to be. How each is perceived in their ability, how much is natural, how much is nurtured, however they got to this point, we do not know. We're just told that they are assessed fairly. And then they're off. The first two slaves put their talents to use immediately. But the last, well, maybe he sees that the others are given more and dwells on not measuring up. Regardless of why, his instinct is to just sit on it, do nothing more. We see how each is then assessed after plenty of time is allowed. And yet there's evidently no change of strategy considered nor executed. But when the time comes, it seems to make sense. Given five, the first produces five more. Given two, the next produces precisely two more. And I suspect that the ratio is not an accident. 1 to 1. The talents belong to those who first gave them, but to each who has stewarded them will come the reward. Enter into the joy of your master. Maybe that's like having your suite comped. I don't know. I'll let you know if I ever do get to play with somebody else's fortune. But it does sound like a great perk considering the alternative. And given this possibility, a 1-to-1 close relationship with a trusting and generous benefactor. But unfortunately, our counterexample here takes a different approach. Though he's been trusted, He has no trust. He assumes the worst of the one whom he does not know and evidently has no desire to know. He's made up his mind about who this person who has given so much to him is. And then his explanation is received with the logical response, right? Look, if you thought I was such a bad guy, shouldn't you have at least done the bare minimum instead of hitting rock bottom and literally continuing to dig? Such a distrust is no basis for relationship. And by now, he's already seen from the previous two that he could have had so much more. And I don't know what this harsh master, harsh enough to bounce a slave unforgivingly into darkness with weeping and gnashing of teeth, values most. The parable is limited. It's a parable. It's not an allegory. But we should know that the God who loves us and whom we serve out of love and out of gratitude desires one-to-one relationship with us more than anything else. We're not entrusted with any less than we deserve, even if others may have more. In fact, we should know others will have more. It's a waste of time to try and die with the most toys. But God will give anything to see us care enough to serve faithfully, to love like we are loved by God, and just share in joy with us. This is the relationship God that wants with us, and then it is to be a model for the relationship God wants us to have with God's people, to live among them, to love one another. Simple joys in relationship, but priceless joy all in all. That we would take that bet. That is God's gamble. But God recommends that we go all in. Amen.